welcome back to another episode of Less Panic, More Peace, where you will get a little less panic and a little more peace when dealing with food allergies. If you're new here, my name is Rhea Miglani, and we have a very special guest in store today. This episode is going to be mainly about nutrition, mindfulness, wellness, and a bunch of awesome allergy stories. This special guest today has food allergies, is a registered dietitian, and an advocate here to share her tips and advice with us today. Introducing Nicole Chupa. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing so well. Thank you for asking me to be a guest on your podcast. I'm so excited to talk to you today.
Yeah, I'm honored that you can be a part of this podcast. I actually took a look at your Instagram before we went on this Zoom, and your main brand is basically about nutrition, wellness, positivity, being a dietitian. And so as I understand it, you basically navigate the science of nutrition with food allergies by simply building a nutritious and safe lifestyle for people, right? So this sounds really, really interesting. So can you tell the audience a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Of course. Yeah. So, you know, like Rhea said, I'm Nicole Chupa. I am a registered dietitian. I'm a food allergy advocate. You know, I was diagnosed with multiple anaphylactic food allergies at 2 years old. So I also have asthma and eczema along with that. And I've been managing all three of them ever since. And when I was younger, so I would have horrible anaphylactic reactions as an infant. For example, like my mom gave me a tiny piece of cheese, and that was, oh my gosh, I had one of the worst reactions ever. And one day my grandpa actually suggested bringing me to an allergist for testing, which is how I was officially diagnosed. But I founded Nutritionally Nicole for, actually back in, I think 2016, it just started as me sharing recipes and kind of stories of my experiences. Which then kind of maneuvered over to a YouTube channel where I made videos about those things instead. And I founded Nutritionally Nicole as a nutrition counseling platform just very recently, about a year ago. And I did it because I wanted, like you said, to help individuals and their families navigate nutrition while they have a food allergy diagnosis or are caring for their kids or someone else who has food allergies, all while building a nutritious lifestyle for them, because it's just so important to have a balance between enjoying delicious foods and not feeling like you have to limit yourself. Knowing how to have that variety with nutrient components, getting what you need for your body, but also enjoying what you're eating and balancing food allergy life along with that. And then I guess currently where I'm at is, along with the counseling and the blogging, I am currently working towards a master's degree in the science of nutrition online too. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Congratulations on that. That's amazing.
Thank you.
That your whole platform that you built is really beneficial, because I haven't really met a lot of people who are doing what you're doing. And at the same time, it's advocating and giving a little less panic and a little more peace to people with food allergies.
Completely.
Yeah. So it's kind of really interesting. So I actually took a look at your Instagram, as I said before, and I saw this quote. It said, "It is more than possible to partake in family food traditions with food allergies, and I can guide you through it." So to me, when I read that quote, I was like, wow, this gave me a sense of a spark of hope and about that they don't have to run your life at all times, and that you as a dietitian can not only help them be healthier, but safe as well. So I'm just really curious on what your motivation is for doing what you do every single day.
Sure. So I was born and raised into an Italian American home. So from a very, very young age, I was in the kitchen. I was immersed into the world of food. And I really had the opportunity where my parents would cook food from scratch, and everyone really enjoyed spending time together in the kitchen, bonding with one another and chatting. And that's kind of, our home was always centered in the kitchen. And so after I was diagnosed with all of my allergies, our family's entire view towards food shifted. And it was to develop, a way of living with this new autoimmune disease as the center of it all. And back in the 90s, late 90s, when this happened, it was something that not a lot of families were very used to and not a lot of people talked about. There wasn't a lot of support for families other than Fair actually had a newsletter that they would send to the house once a month that my mom absolutely couldn't be more excited to get. But that being said, you know, my family began to adapt their cherished generational recipes to keep me safe without sacrificing things like taste and flavor. So my motivation really came from that. And then, you know, as you can imagine, having food allergies yourself and being in a food allergy family, you become a very quick label reading expert. And, you know, when you get a little older, you start to self-advocate some more. And in college, I became very curious about nutrition. I'm just very eager to learn how that played into food allergies and life in general. And it was so interesting to me because I feel like I've never consumed, I have like more than 8 anaphylactic food allergies and I haven't consumed any of that. And yet I was healthy and I was thriving and I was growing and had good lab work. And so I started to dive into this world of, well, how can that still be? And it kind of unlocked a door.
That's great. Yeah. So you use your platform to help other people. And I love that motivation, a little story that you share. That's really amazing. So you're on YouTube too?
I am.
Is that what it is? So do you do little vlogs and stuff?
I do. So it's called Nutritionally Nicole on YouTube as well. And I post cooking videos, recipe videos. I talk about experiences and story times of things I go through with allergy life because it's so important to talk about those things, right? And as you know, with your podcast, and then I share nutrition education now through there as well, helping people, giving people tips. So it's just a very fun and, creative environment for me.
Yeah. So like you said, you share stories and I think that stories are a really beneficial way to give people, get across that you want to not only educate them, but keep them interested. Cause I feel like spitting facts at people, they're not going to retain anything. You know, yeah. If you're learning from school, you know, teachers just kind of spit facts at you. You're like, I don't really can't retain everything. It's so hard to, and so difficult. So especially on a lengthy podcast like this one, I think that stories are a great way to capture people's attention and to really understand and empathize what food allergies are, how they can, how people who don't have food allergies can help who are listening, and people who do have food allergies, what tips and advice they can have when they're in allergic reaction, right? Yeah. So share your story. What is your story, Nicole?
So my story in terms of what, like how I was, growing up story or...
How you got food allergies and an allergic reaction story that really changed the way you thought and the way you lived your life?
Okay, yeah. So as I said, I was diagnosed when I was 2. My parents, ever since I was born, I cried all the time. So my parents always suspected that there wasn't something quite right and they couldn't figure out what that was. And the last thing that they thought of was that food was the problem, right? So they took me to a bunch of different doctors and they tried a bunch of different things and nothing really was fitting or solving, I should say, like why I wasn't becoming a happier infant. They would give me little pieces of food, like you're supposed to integrate. Back then you would integrate kind of like whatever your parents were eating, they would give you a little bit of, and I would just have these crazy reactions. And it was so often that they just wouldn't know what it was they gave me that provoked those reactions from me. So one day, my mom gave me a little piece of cheese, like I mentioned before, and I was so sick. She said I was throwing up in the bathtub the whole night. My dad had to come home from work. It was really traumatic for them, being new parents. I was their only child at the time. I still am. But from that point on, they were just like, no, we have to figure this out. So that's when my grandpa suggested the allergist and I was diagnosed. When I was diagnosed at first, it was to a lot more foods than I am allergic to now. Now I have only 8. But back then it was way more than that. So it was very scary for my parents not having that guidance or direction of where to go. And I think from there, when it comes to my story, a reaction that I recently, and I mean in the past 5 years, I'm a very cautious person. And with that being said, you can't prevent everything, right? Mistakes still happen. So as cautious as you try to be, unfortunately, life just happens. but I was in my dietetic internship at the time. And I actually had a rotation at a nursing home. And so I was working with the food service director there, and she was very nice about my food allergies. She was very cognizant about it and worked with me a lot so that I was comfortable, which I really appreciated. But we were in the kitchen, and before I could reach for a face mask, this was all before coronavirus, so it was kind of like I was the only one in the kitchen with a face mask. Yeah. Before I could reach for it, we were pouring in powdered pudding mixes into bowls, and the powder kind of wafted up, and I breathed that in, and it had powdered milk in it, and so that was kind of
dramatic.
Yeah. So I ended up started out where my ears got a little itchy. I was like, oh, it'll be fine. And then my throat got a little itchy. My nose got a little itchy. And then I was like, oh no, this is all going downhill. This is just not good. So I was like, oh, you know, I think I'm going to go out and take some Benadryl. She's like, oh my gosh, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. So I go to the office, grab my Benadryl. I take two. Now at this point, I'm panicking inside, trying not to, but it's happening. And so I'm taking my Benadryl, and she comes back in the office. She's checking on me, and it's not getting better. It's not getting worse, but it's not getting better. So I was like, oh no, I'm going to have to use the EpiPen. It would be the first time in my life, other than an allergist office, that I'd have to use it on myself. And mind you, I was out of college. Like I was 22.
How old were you?
Yeah, around 22, I would say. Uh-huh. And so I was terrified because I never, thank God, had to use one on myself. So I was like, oh no, my parents aren't even here. This is all going so wrong. It's like one of my first days at this internship too. I forgot to mention. So
oh, no.
I was very close. I was this close to taking my AbiQ, right? But the nurse came in and she took my blood pressure, did the whole thing and said, you know, you're stable. Like your blood pressure's not skyrocketing. Your oxygen's fine. So I ended up calling my mom, and she works at a hospital. So it happened to work out where she was like on her way in town, driving there anyway. Mm-hmm. So I hopped in her car from the nursing home, went to the hospital with her, still never took the EpiPen, just the Benadryl, got to the emergency room, told them what happened. And they said, they gave me steroids and everything. They watched me for like 3 more hours and then sent me home. But they said that it was it wouldn't have hurt me to take the EpiPen, but I didn't hurt me that I didn't. And that's exactly what my allergist said too when I called them after the whole experience happened. Looking back, I probably should have just taken the EpiPen, but
yeah, I mean, I feel like everyone has different severities of it. And if that wasn't such a severe reaction, what's your general severity level of your reactions usually?
Yeah. So, when I would do oral food challenges at the allergist, when I was younger, I used to, like, I was fed a very minuscule piece of scrambled egg, which I'm anaphylactic to, and my lips within not even 2 minutes blew up like crazy. So they just gave me the EpiPen there. But that's like the severity of it. So it is really bad. But I don't know, that day, maybe because it was powdered or something, it didn't get fully, I don't know. But
yeah, I feel like you breathed it in, right?
Yeah.
So it wasn't such like you were, and it was entering your body in a different way than usual, right? So I think that's the way. So what are all of your allergies exactly? I just want to make sure.
Yeah. So I have 8 different ones. So dairy, egg, peanut, tree nuts, sesame seed, poppy seed, mustard seed, lamb, and coconut.
Oh, so sesame, the faster act and everything, which is amazing. That's great.
I'm so excited that passed.
Yeah, it illustrates a lot of hope and peace for people with that allergy. I know I met someone recently and she said she was allergic to something so random. She said she was allergic to cinnamon.
Okay.
And I'm like, wow, okay. I had never really heard someone who's allergic to cinnamon. And she was our waitress a few weeks ago. I was at a restaurant and she basically said that, oh yeah, I'll look out for your allergies. Don't worry. I'm also allergic to something. I was like, oh, what are you allergic to? She said cinnamon. And I was like, and then I was like, wow, that's not, you know, I said, wow, that's actually must be a lot more. It's actually tough too, because they don't have it at the top 8 allergens. Right. So it's not as, I feel like it's the same amount of toughness and difficulty because you don't really know exactly a lot. Like the top 10, 8 allergens are nuts and all these different really prevalent allergies that people have. But you wouldn't think about someone having cinnamon allergy. People aren't going to be like, oh, do you have a cinnamon allergy on a daily basis, right?
Right.
So it's
that would also be hard, I feel like, for if you're reading nutrition labels and things and something just says spices and you're like, well, can I have this or can I not have this? What is your spice? You know, it's kind of like saying natural flavorings. It could be so many different things. That must be really nerve-wracking.
Yeah, and that's exactly what she said. That's what the waitress said. She's like, I know, you know, your allergy. I'm not saying that my allergy is worse or not worse. Right. It's like a really tricky topic, though, when you talk about this, because you don't want people to be like sensitive. Oh, my allergy is worse. And it's like a weird thing.
And so,
I don't know. I thought it was just really crazy. A lot of people have very different allergies at different times. And people, you know, I've actually spoken to a woman recently and she said her allergy just popped up randomly. She was in her mid 20s and just a bunch of allergies like fruit, beans, all these different allergies pop up randomly.
Wow.
Really difficult, really tricky, but I'm glad that you have a platform and you're using it for good, which is amazing. And I actually heard that you started a new series. It's called Level Up. What is that about?
Yeah. So it kind of lives in my highlight section of my Instagram, but basically it's just this fun little series where I have people who follow me on Instagram or whoever want to really send in their meals, whether it be pictures or just through typing it out. And there are people who are looking for quick nutrition advice on how to level up what they're already doing and enjoying. So it's not necessarily me judging that meal and saying, hey, this is not a good meal. Let me tell you how to make it better. It's more me taking what you already like and saying, this is great, but if you want to level it up and get more nutrition out of it, this is what you can do. So it's just a quick, fun way to give more nutrition help to those who want it. And I found it really fun so far.
Interesting. Awesome. So how do you level up? Like, what's one way you can level up?
So it kind of depends on the dish that you're making, obviously, but for something that's, I can give a quick example. If you're making a dish, rice is a really common one in the food allergy community, right? So if you're looking for more nutrition with rice, you'd swap out white rice for brown rice or white rice for wild rice, or maybe even a quinoa, which isn't necessarily a rice, it's another grain, but still it has a lot more fiber and protein and different micronutrients. So if you're looking to have some more of that, those are some options you can try. But there are a lot of different fun little switches that you can do.
Well, I'm looking forward to see how your series goes, and thanks. I'm really excited for that. And I think that we should take a little intermission right now. And I told you about this before, but I'm going to say it again for the audience. We do this little segment. It's called Fast Five Questions. And it basically is like 73 questions on Vogue or Ellen's Burning Questions, if you've heard of them. And it basically, I'm just going to ask you five simple questions and you're going to answer them as fast as you can. And we'll see how it goes. I'm actually going to start timing people now. Should I do that?
That would be really fun.
I think I should do that because then we could see like the leaderboard and everything.
Yeah.
All right, I'll time you. How about that?
Okay. We'll start here.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. Let me time you. Pull up a clock.
I'm excited.
Yes. Okay. Awesome. I've never actually timed people. Let's see how it works.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. Ready?
Yep.
What's one simple thing that someone can do right now that'll help them tomorrow regarding nutrition?
Ooh, I would say take what you already enjoy and try to incorporate more nutritious foods into it.
Awesome. What should the plate consist of?
The plate, typically when you go off of my plate, it's about half your plate of vegetables and then a quarter of carbs and a quarter of protein and a little bit of fat in there for flavor.
Okay, awesome. And what is a step-by-step procedure during an allergic reaction?
Oh, this is so different. But for me personally, it would just kind of be assess how you're feeling in the moment. And if it's something that you know is going to be anaphylaxis, go straight for the EpiPen and then follow your anaphylactic plan from there. Call your allergist, make sure there's people around you who know and care about you. And if there is no one who knows or cares about you, kind of go up to a stranger and be like, listen, this is happening to me. Can you just sit with me?
Awesome. Wow, super fast. Okay, what is one word to describe food allergies as a whole?
Strength.
Awesome. Favorite fast food restaurant that you like to go to with allergies?
Oh, geez. I'm going to be honest. I don't have one, but when I was younger, I used to like McDonald's a lot.
Okay, awesome. You got it. It is 1 minute and 7 seconds.
That wasn't too bad.
It was actually really good. A lot of people, I haven't timed them, but a lot of people are like, I mean, people go into detail with it and everything get carried away the game, but it's like a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was really fun. Thanks for that.
Of course. I should do a leaderboard now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it's like, oh, this person got higher than you, lower than you. Competition.
100%. That would be so fun.
Okay, awesome. So another thing I actually saw on your platform were questions that people have with a specific allergen. Mm-hmm. So for example, like a dairy allergy, for example, and they kind of ask a bunch of questions. I'm actually going to ask you a few questions and see if you have the answer to them as a dietitian.
Sure.
So, for example, I have a dairy allergy, right? And I saw this on your Instagram and it said, you know, can I still have strong bones with dairy? Can I still be nutritious without having dairy? Is my child's growth going to stunt because without having dairy? So is there any substitute or how do you as a dietitian answer these questions that parents might have about their children that can't have dairy?
So when it comes to dairy specifically, first of all, I always like to ask if it's a food allergy or if it's an intolerance and then if it's an intolerance or a sensitivity, what kind of dairy are we including and then what aren't we? But if we're going from a food allergic standpoint and no dairy at all is allowed in the diet, then I would kind of dissect it piece by piece and think, okay, well, if dairy is the food that we have to avoid, what is in dairy that is so nutritious for us? Like, why are people pushing for dairy so much? And most of that comes from the micronutrient content, but most of it is because of, you know, calcium and because of things like that, vitamin D, calcium. So with things like that, we kind of take those nutrients by themselves and say, okay, well, if vitamin D is the thing that people really think is important in something like milk, then where else can I get vitamin D from? Where else can I get calcium from? And then once we figure out safe food sources of those nutrients, we can build you a diet that is safe and enjoyable and will give you just as much nutrition as you would if you included dairy, but from other foods.
Wait, that's so interesting. Yeah. So how can you find a substitute for dairy though? Like, what are the other foods?
So it's not necessarily finding a substitute for dairy. It's the nutrients in the dairy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So for example, if you are looking at calcium and you say, okay, well, calcium is milk. I can't have milk, so I'm just not going to have calcium. Well, that's not necessarily true, right? There's a lot of food sources that contain calcium. Calcium-rich foods can be things like fortified milks. So if you can have soy, you drink soy milk, or you can have another plant-based milk, rice milk, they're usually fortified at this point with calcium, vitamin D, things like that. Other things, if you are allowed to have seafood in your diet, there's a lot of calcium in seafood. Beans have calcium, different leafy greens have calcium. It just all depends on what's safe for you and what's not.
Just basically, you instead of having that dairy, you just have the nutrients that comes from it. Basically.
Yes.
Okay, that's actually really interesting. How many people have actually transform their diet completely? Is that an actual thing? Like, do you transform your entire diet based off of your allergies and safety and health?
You can. It depends on the client. You know, I've definitely seen people who it's more of a slow integration of things where we take what they're already doing and we're adding nutrition into it, as I mentioned before. And when it comes to food allergies or multiple food allergies, it's looking at what those allergies are and trying to figure out how we can build a diet around that. So it's more of a slow transformation with smaller goals. However, I also have seen people who have come to me and they're newly diagnosed and they have 4 or 5 new things they can't have. And it's very overwhelming and scary for them. So we kind of take it apart piece by piece. And that way, yeah, it's kind of a full transformation because they're learning so much and they're also getting to kind of, I guess, have more of that peace because they know they're getting nutrition and they know things are tasting good and they can still have an amazing, wonderful life even though they have their food allergies. So
I definitely concur. Yeah. Safety, health, and clarity are really things that at least I need as a food allergy, you know, advocate and a food allergy sufferer. And I think that's so important, especially I like how you mentioned the words overwhelming and scared, because it is so true and so prevalent in the world that we live in right now, especially during the midst of this pandemic and not being able to see people, and especially in colleges, for example, right? You're alone. Like you said in the story, you were alone. You didn't have your parents with you. And so not having your parents with you is a really, really big thing, because your parents are there as a support system. They know what to do. They give you the EpiPen. Yeah. And so when you're alone at college, it's especially hard because you're studying, you're cramming all this work in, but you also have to make sure you're eating the right foods. First of all, not eating foods that you're allergic to, right? And then second of all, being healthy. I think health is a really important aspect of my life, at least. Yeah. And so I've actually spoken to a person a few days ago, and he was introducing me to this new app, and he wanted my advice on it. And it's called FIG. I'm not sure if you heard of it before, but there are a lot of dietitians who are actually helping them with children in college. So it's this FIG app is basically where you filter out all your allergies and your restrictions, and they give you certain foods that will be good for you. And it'll be linked to Whole Foods, for example, right? It'll be linked to Whole Foods, and Whole Foods would say, okay, this is actually not going to be suiting with your allergy. A link to Amazon, Whole Foods, all those different things. But what I also thought was intriguing was having dietitians there at colleges. He had actually two apps and websites that he was launching. One of them being that one that I said, and then the second one being a college app for people in college. And they are students who don't really know what they're doing with allergies. And I know when I go to college, I'm like, I don't know how to cook. I don't know what to do. And so you go to college and you have a cafeteria and you're like, okay, I don't know what I can eat. And it's like so scary, overwhelming. I don't have any clarity. So long story short, he told me about this process where he has one-on-one interview. They give you one-on-one interviews with dietitians, and they can actually help you with your meals and all that stuff. So I thought that was super interesting. Do you know anybody, or in college, do you have a problem with not knowing what to do, basically? Did you have that? People who are listening, who are people with allergies in college?
So I personally, myself, I did not dorm. I was lucky enough to live home through college, so I avoided a lot of that stress by doing that. But I do have a couple clients right now, actually, were not so much right now, because the ones I had were last year, because this year it's a little bit different with the pandemic. A lot of people are home online with school, which in a way for food allergy management kind of is okay. Like, it releases a lot of that stress to be like, I'm already stressed out studying for final exams, but I can at least cook in my own kitchen and my mom and dad can still make my food. Like, it's kind of nice. But I did have one specific client who wanted my help with dining halls. And she really needed help. Actually, it was a lot of confidence training as well, because when you do arrive at college, you're very nervous, right? And there's a lot of people that you have to meet and talk to. And so it was kind of overcoming some confidence issues, but also giving her this tactile piece of information she can ask questions, and how to talk to chefs and how to ask for things. So that was really fun to see her grow like that.
That's fun. Self-advocacy is really important too, especially when you go to college. You know, like, hi, my name is Rhea. I'm allergic to this, that, and this. And it's just, you have to do that, right? When you go to college, you have to do that. When you're a young adult, you have to do that, because there's no other choice. And especially people are shy. Like, I know a lot of people have anxiety when doing that though, too. Yeah. Like, actually, I want to share this story, a little story. It's my sister. She's my younger sister. She's about 13 years old, and she has allergies to nuts, eggs, well, not eggs anymore, but nuts and shellfish. Okay. So we went to a Thai restaurant for my dad's birthday last week, and we were there, and this waitress was so rude, because my mom just kept asking her, does this meal have any nuts in it? Can you please make sure? She ignored her. I'm like, okay. So my mom was like, does this meal have any nuts in it? She ignored her again. And then my mom was like, excuse me, my children can die if they eat this. Can you please answer my question? This is so disrespectful of you. And my mom went off on her. Yeah. And so she was like, it doesn't have any nuts in it. I said this before. Wait, what? when did you say this?
Yeah.
And she said, I'll check with the chef or whatever. And so she's just so mean, so cruel. Uh-huh. And I think that my sister, when she got the food, she was just looking down on it. And we're all just like, what are you doing? Eat the food. It's okay. Like, there's no nuts. But she just, but then I thought to myself, like, wow, this might be some anxiety going on here.
Yeah.
I might have some anxiety of eating food. And I'd never seen this on her before. Like, she usually eat anything. But she had like 5 EpiPens in the past. So I think that made traumatized her in a way to not eat the food, especially Thai food, which has a lot of nuts in it most of the time.
It's a difficult cuisine for nut allergies. Definitely.
Yeah. And so we just kept it's okay. Are you okay? She's like, I don't know. I just don't feel like, is there nuts in it? I'm not sure if there's nuts in it. And so there's this basically this feeling of anxiety and stress when going to a restaurant and this waitress is not being helpful at all, which is one of the reasons I advocate for this food allergies, is because people don't really understand how serious it really is.
Yep.
So what are some tips and advice you have for people who don't necessarily know where to start when eating and carry anxiety of the fear of eating food because they don't really know what's in it? What's some advice you can share?
Are you talking more going out to eat?
Yes.
So from personal experience, I think talking to chefs is the most important thing. I think there is a lot of the time a big disconnect between the wait staff and what's going on in the kitchen. Sometimes the wait staff doesn't really know what's in the food. Sometimes they might not even have a good working relationship with the kitchen. It can be so many different things that you don't even know about influencing what they know and what they don't know. I was lucky a couple times to have had really, really cognizant, wait staff, knowledgeable about the menu, what I could and couldn't have. But I think what makes a really great restaurant is someone that can take what you're saying and take it with compassion and then bring it back to the kitchen and say, hey, we have a customer, we have a diner here, like, you need to come out and talk to them, help them. And they do. They come out. I've had, especially, I'm going to be honest, I don't eat out a lot here, especially. Like, I just don't eat out. It gives me a lot of anxiety. Talking about panic and peace, it gives me a lot of panicked feelings to do that because I'm not very good with trusting other people to cook for me. And it's just because I'm so used to doing it on my own. So that's something that myself, I'm even working on as I get older and become, you know, an adult. But on vacations, I've had wonderful experiences of chefs coming out and telling me, you know, what's in this sauce that they prepare. They have lists printed out on laminated paper showing me what's in things. And I'm like, this is what every restaurant needs to do. Because there is nothing more valuable and nothing makes you feel safer than having a wait staff and a kitchen that knows exactly what they're doing and they're confident in saying, no, I can cook for you. I think that's one of the best things. So a tip I can give is just kind of honestly going with your gut and trusting it. Because like your sister that day, she didn't feel right. And I wouldn't either, because the wait staff you had wasn't very supportive, you know? So it's only right she feel that way. So I probably would have acted the same way. So I don't think I would have eaten it as well. But just trusting your gut, really. Yeah.
Trusting your gut. And as you said, I think that a lot of restaurants should have allergy-free menus and should ask you right away. I think the number one obligation for a restaurant is to say, okay, just keep the people safe, right? That's the number one obligation. You know, you don't want a much reaction on your hands. Like, that's not anyone wants.
No.
And so stress and anxiety, to be simple, is it will always linger everywhere you go. It's not something that you can just turn off.
No.
And that's the bad part about it. But the thing is, you have to kind of cope with it. And I feel like trusting your gut is a great advice and great tip that you have with dealing with it, because you can't turn it off. So I think that the only thing is to embrace the chaos, basically.
Yeah. I love that sign you have, by the way. I noticed it as soon as you turned your video on. And I was like, wow, that is just life. That is life in a sign. I love it.
Thank you. Actually, my dad wrote a book called Embrace the Chaos.
Really?
He wrote 3 books. And
amazing.
Yeah, and being a bestseller author, he's really great. This is his studio, actually. And so he did the whole Embrace the Chaos mantra, and I really take it everywhere I go, because that's the only thing you can do, really, especially in this time that's so rough right now. People just have to embrace the chaos because you can't really do anything about it. And I feel like control is a big part of people who with allergies' lives, like they want to be in control with everything. And that's amazing. Like that's amazing. But it's also like you can't be in control at all times.
Yeah.
So embracing the chaos is very hard to do, but it's easier said than done, you know?
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's basically it. And I'm really curious about this when kind of going back to the restaurant anxiety.
Yeah.
Is there any way there's a connection between that and eating disorders and anxiety lingering there?
I've looked into relationships with food a lot with people with food allergies. There are a lot of different things that come along with that, but as far as if the two relate together, I don't necessarily think so. I think people with food allergies, like you said, are always going to have that innate fear of I'm going to eat something and it might kill me. And that's going to be that. But I think going out to a restaurant, having those anxious, stressful feelings and not eating because you're fearful that it might kill you because it might actually really be a dangerous situation, I don't think that's necessarily too big of a sign. I think where it would become an issue or a red flag, I should say, for that type of behavior, for disordered eating behavior, could be if we're not eating at home, you know, in a safe environment, if we're not eating at home because we're nervous or scared. And then if we're almost talking to ourselves saying, well, I'm not eating this because of my food allergies, but really that person knows it's not food allergy related. And it might just be, I'm not eating because I don't want the extra calories, or I'm not eating because I don't want the extra fat from the oil that this meal is cooked in, and something along those lines. That's where it could start to become a red flag. But I think just going to a restaurant and being nervous, that kind of comes with an allergy diagnosis, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think that's a misconception of having an eating disorder, but also having food allergies, because there are different motives, I think. Mm-hmm. Like you said, there are different motives. Like food allergies, you just don't want to eat because you don't want a dangerous substance going into your body that can potentially kill you, right?
Yes.
Eating disorders are basically about you don't want to have the extra calories gained on, like you said. So there's a difference. And I think that that's something that people don't really understand. Like I didn't really fully understand it at all, right? I didn't really know if it was food allergies, if it was eating disorders that people have, because anxiety can do a bunch of things to people. And it's a really serious topic. And that's why it's great that you share that. So thank you.
You're welcome.
And I actually want to bring up this last thing. I really am curious about changing from a state of panic. I know we talked about a little bit of serious things, but kind of moving to a peace side of things.
Yes.
So how do you basically practice wellness, because wellness can come in all forms, all sorts of things. So how do you practice wellness with people? How do you think that you should do that?
So I like to practice, it depends on who I'm talking to. But when it comes to practicing wellness, I think people tend to isolate different pieces of wellness and lose focus of others. You know, wellness is such a big umbrella term. And I think some people think, okay, well, to be well, I have to look a certain way and I have to eat a certain way. And while that may be true in a sense of if you eat nutritious foods, people tend to feel better, more revitalized, more energetic, more in tune with their body. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to eat salad in order to be well. And so I think breaking that initial connection where people are associating looking good with feeling good, because that's not the case as we know. Just because you look good doesn't mean that someone can feel good. So I think having that being broken as soon as we talk about wellness leaves a lot of open doors for what wellness actually is. And what I believe wellness to be is having that full picture of, well, it starts from the inside and then it goes on to the outside. So from the inside to your core, how do you feel about yourself? Like, are you happy with yourself? Are you feeling good? Do you wake up every day feeling energized, ready to take on the day? And are you sustaining that energy throughout the day? Are you feeling fulfilled in what you're doing in life? mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. There's so many facets. But speaking to the food piece, I think wellness is eating foods that you enjoy, that make you feel good, that are safe for your food allergies, and that you can kind of share with other people in a sense. Like, can you also try and make what you're eating a bonding experience? Can we try to have a more mindful meal, maybe not in front of the television all the time? Not saying that that's wrong, but once in a while, it's so lovely to sit down with people that you care about, whether it be through Zoom nowadays with the pandemic or not, to kind of have a conversation and bond a little bit and talk about the food you're eating. I think all of those pieces kind of come together when we talk about wellness.
Yeah, I love what you said there. And you don't have to look good to feel good. And I think that's such a big misconception, because when people look at somebody like, oh, she's not looking good today, you know, she must not be feeling good. And I'm right. No, that's not how everything works.
Drop the judgment, right?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. That shouldn't be happening, especially with all these cyberbullying and all this stuff that's happening. Yes. You don't know what's going on with somebody at all. You know, they can look good, but they might not feel good, right? So you can't judge a book by its cover, basically. You know, there's a stigma that goes along with it. And it's just so tough. So I'm glad that you shared that. And just to kind of sign off, do you have any last words of wisdom? I do a segment called Words of Wisdom. So any last takeaways that you can provide the audience that you really want them to know?
So I think what I would like to tell everyone is, if you're listening to this, just know that with food allergies, you are not alone. And I think it's more present than ever that we are hearing this and understanding it. There are so many people with allergies and that are talking about allergies, which is making it all the difference. There are advocates and professionals and just everyday people who are opening up and sharing their stories. And I think that is what's going to keep propelling our whole community to be more tight-knit and more supportive and really push for research and different laws to be enacted and things like that. So keep talking about it. Whatever you feel like needs to be talked about, do not be shy about it. Keep talking about it. I think what I would say from a nutrition perspective of things is get creative in the kitchen. I like to say play with your food, play with your safe foods, get creative. Try something new if it makes you comfortable. And if you're feeling like you are stuck, or if you are feeling like you are in a spot where you just can't see how food is joyful, or how food is more than just fuel, I think it's worth opening your mind and following some really great pages, professionals, me or not, it could be someone else, but just kind of talking to a registered dietitian and really working with someone to reach a place where food is enjoyable and it makes you happy and it's nourishing and it's a wholesome experience. All foods fit. We don't have to eliminate things that aren't going to cause us harm, because we already eliminate as a food allergy community so much. So there's no reason to further eliminate if we don't have to.
I love that so much. I think the one thing that I took away from that was community. It's so important. I think that's something that fuels me every single day when I do these podcasts. There's so many ways you can lose hope and motivation. And I think community is the number one thing. There's so many people there who empathize with you and are there for you and will be there for you for as long as you live, because people want to make sure that you're safe. Right. Yeah. Just know that people listening, I know you might not think that every single day, but people are there for you. And you're just going to have hope that everything will be okay at the end. So I love that you shared that. Thank you so much for being on this podcast. You shared
so much knowledge.
Yeah, of course. And you shared so much knowledge. So I'm glad that it will definitely benefit the listeners. And thank you all for listening to Less Panic, More Peace, new episodes every week. Peace out.